Chapter 13. At him, and the judge was hammering with his mallet, and the sheriff yelling order, order in the court order. And all the while the old man stood there a-quaking, and his eyes a-burning, and not looking at his wife and daughter, which was clinging to him, and begging him to keep still, but pawing them off with his hands, and saying he would clear his black soul from crime, he would heave off this load, that was more than he could bear, and he wouldn't bear it another hour. And then he raged right along with his awful tale, everybody a-staring and gasping, judge, jury, lawyers, and everybody, and Benny and Aunt Sally crying their hearts out. And by George, Tom Sawyer never looked at him once. Never once, just sat there gazing with all his eyes at something else, I couldn't tell what. And so the old man raged right along, pouring his words out like a stream of fire. I killed him. I am guilty. But I never had the notion in my life to hurt him or harm him, spite of all them lies about my threatening him, till the very minute I raised the club then my heart went cold. Then the pity all went out of it, and I struck to kill. In that one moment all my wrongs come into my mind, all the insults that that man and the scoundrel his brother, there, had put upon me, and how they laid in together, to ruin me with the people, and take away my good name, and drive me to some deed, that would destroy me, and my family, that hadn't ever done them no harm, so help me God. And they done it in a mean revenge, for why? Because my innocent, pure girl here at my side, wouldn't marry that rich, insolent, ignorant coward, Brace Dunlop, who's been sniveling here over a brother he never cared a brass farthing for. I see Tom give a jump and look glad this time, to a dead certainty, and in that moment I've told you about, I forgot my God and remembered only my heart's bitterness. God forgive me, and I struck to kill. In one second I was miserably sorry, oh, filled with remorse. But I thought of my poor family, and I must hide what I'd done for their sakes. And I did hide that corpse in the bushes, and presently I carried it to the tobacco field, and in the deep night I went with my shovel, and buried it where, up jumps Tom and shouts, now, I've got it, and waves his hand, oh, ever so fine and starchy, towards the old man, and says, sit down, a murder was done, but you never had no hand in it. Well, sir, you could a' heard a pin drop. And the old man he sunk down kind of bewildered in his seat, and Aunt Sally and Benny didn't know it, because they was so astonished and staring at Tom with their mouths open, and not knowing what they was about. And the whole house the same. I never seen people look so helpless and tangled up, and I ain't ever seen eyes bug out, and gaze without a blink the way Thern did. Tom says, perfectly calm. Your Honor, may I speak? For God's sake, yes, go on, says the judge, so astonished and mixed up he didn't know what he was about hardly. Then Tom he stood there, and waited a second or two that was for to work up an effect, as he calls it. Then he started in just as calm as ever, and says, for about 2 weeks now there's been a little bill sticking on the front of this courthouse offering $2,000 reward for a couple of big demons stole at St. Louis. Them demons is worth $12,000. But never mind about that till I get to it. Now about this murder. I will tell you all about it, how it happened, who done it, every detail. You could see everybody nestle now, and begin to listen for all they was worth. This man here, Brace Dunlop, that's been sniveling so about his dead brother, that you know he never cared a straw for, wanted to marry that young girl there, and she wouldn't have him. So he told Uncle Silas he would make him sorry. Uncle Silas knowed how powerful he was, and how little chance he had against such a man, and he was scared and worried, and done everything he could think of to smooth him over, and get him to be good to him. He even took his no-account brother Jupiter on the farm, and give him wages, and stinted his own family to pay them, and Jupiter done everything his brother could contrive to insult Uncle Silas, and fret and worry him, and try to drive Uncle Silas into doing him a hurt, so as to injure Uncle Silas with the people. And it done it. Everybody turned against him, and said the meanest kind of things about him, and it gradually broke his heart, yes, and he was so worried and distressed that often he weren't hardly in his right mind. Well, on that Saturday, that we've had so much trouble about, two of these witnesses here, Lem Beebe and Jim Lane, come along by where Uncle Silas and Jupiter Dunlop was at work, and that much of what they've said is true, the rest is lies. They didn't hear Uncle Silas say he would kill Jupiter. They didn't hear no blow struck. They didn't see no dead man, and they didn't see Uncle Silas hide anything in the bushes. Look at them now, how they sit there, wishing they hadn't been so handy with their tongues. Anyway, they'll wish it, before I get done. That same Saturday evening, Bill and Jack Withers did see one man lugging off another one. That much of what they said is true, and the rest is lies. First off, they thought it was a nigger stealing Uncle Silas's corn. You notice it makes them look silly now, to find out somebody overheard them say that. That's because they found out by and by who it was that was doing the lugging, and they know best why they swore here, that they took it for Uncle Silas by the gate which it wasn't, and they knowed it, when they swore to that lie. A man out in the moonlight did see a murdered person put underground in the tobacco field, but it wasn't Uncle Silas that done the burying. He was in his bed at that very time. Now then, before I go on, I want to ask you, if you've ever noticed this, that people, when they're thinking deep, or when they're worried, are most always doing something with their hands, and they don't know it, and don't notice what it is their hands are doing. Some stroke their chins, some stroke their noses, some stroke up under their chin with their hand, some twirl a chain, some fumble a button, then there's some that draws a figure, or a letter with their finger on their cheek, or under their chin, or on their underlip. That's my way. When I'm restless, or worried, or thinking hard, I draw capital V's on my cheek, or on my underlip, or under my chin, and never anything but capital V's, and half the time I don't notice it, and don't know I'm doing it. That was odd. That is just what I do, only I make a no. And I could see people nodding to one another, same as they do, when they mean, that's so. Now then, I'll go on. That same Saturday, no, it was the night before, there was a steamboat laying at Flagler's Landing 40 miles above here, and it was raining and storming like the nation. And there was a thief aboard, and he had them two big diamonds that's advertised out here on this courthouse door. And he slipped ashore with his handbag, and struck out into the dark and the storm, and he was a-hoping he could get to this town all right and be safe. But he had two pals aboard the boat, hiding, and he knowed they was going to kill him the first chance they got, and take the diamonds, because all three stole them, and then this fellow he got hold of them and skipped. Well, he hadn't been gone more than 10 minutes before his pals found it out, and they jumped ashore and lit out after him. Probably they burnt matches, and found his tracks. Anyway, they dogged along after him all day Saturday, and kept out of his sight, and towards sundown he come to the bunch of sycamores down by Uncle Silas's field, and he went in there to get a disguise out of his handbag, and put it on before he showed himself here in the town, and mind you, he done that just a little after the time that Uncle Silas was hitting Jupiter Dunlop over the head with a club, for he did hit him. But the minute the pals see that thief slide into the bunch of sycamores, they jumped out of the bushes and slid in after him. They fell on him, and clubbed him to death. Yes, for all he screamed and howled so, they never had no mercy on him, but clubbed him to death. And two men, that was running along the road, heard him yelling that way, and they made a rush into the Sycamore bunch, which was where they was bound for, anyway, and when the pals saw them, they lit out and the two new men after them a-chasing them as tight as they could go. But only a minute or two then these two new men slipped back very quiet into the sycamores. Then what did they do? I will tell you what they done. They found where the thief had got his disguise out of his carpet sack to put on. So one of them strips and puts on that disguise. Tom waited a little here, for some more effect, then he says, very deliberate. The man that put on that dead man's disguise was Jupiter Dunlop. Great Scott, everybody shouted, all over the house, and old Uncle Silas he looked perfectly astonished. Yes, it was Jupiter Dunlop. Not dead, you see. Then they pulled off the dead man's boots and put Jupiter Dunlop's old ragged shoes on the corpse, and put the corpse's boots on Jupiter Dunlop. Then Jupiter Dunlop stayed where he was, and the other man lugged the dead body off in the twilight. And after midnight he went to Uncle Silas's house, and took his old green work robe off of the peg, where it always hangs in the passage betwixt the house and the kitchen, and put it on, and stole the long-handled shovel, and went off down into the tobacco field, and buried the murdered man. He stopped, and stood half a minute. Then, Andy, who do you reckon the murdered man was? It was Jake Dunlop, the long-lost burglar. Great Scott! And the man that buried him was Brace Dunlop, his brother. Great Scott! And who do you reckon is this mowing idiot here that's letting on all these weeks to be a deaf and dumb stranger? It's Jupiter Dunlop. My land, they all busted out in a howl, and you never see the like of that excitement since the day you was born. And Tom he made a jump for Jupiter, and snaked off his goggles and his false whiskers, and there was the murdered man, sure enough, just as alive as anybody. And Aunt Sally and Benny they went to hugging and crying and kissing and smothering old Uncle Silas to that degree he was more muddled, and confused and mushed up in his mind than he ever was before, and that is saying considerable. And next, people begun to yell, Tom Sawyer! Tom Sawyer! Shut up everybody, and let him go on. Go on, Tom Sawyer! Which made him feel uncommon bully, for it was nuts for Tom Sawyer, to be a public character that-a-way, and a hero, as he calls it. So when it was all quiet, he says, there ain't much left, only this. When that man there, Bruce Dunlop, had most worried the life and sense out of Uncle Silas till at last he plumb lost his mind and hit this other blatherskite, his brother, with a club, I reckon he seen his chance. Jupiter broke for the woods to hide, and I reckon the game was for him to slide out, in the night, and leave the country. Then Brace would make everybody believe Uncle Silas killed him, and hid his body somers. And that would ruin Uncle Silas, and drive him out of the country, hang him, maybe, I dunno. But when they found their dead brother in the sycamores without knowing him, because he was so battered up, they see they had a better thing, disguise both and bury Jake, and dig him up presently all dressed up in Jupiter's clothes, and hire Jim Lane and Bill Withers and the others, to swear to some handy lies which they done. And there they sit now, and I told them they would be looking sick, before I got done, and that is the way they're looking now. Well, me and Huck Finn here, we come down on the boat with the thieves, and the dead one told us all about the demons, and said the others would murder him, if they got the chance, and we was going to help him all we could. We was bound for the sycamores, when we heard them killing him in there. But we was in there in the early morning after the storm, and allowed nobody hadn't been killed, after all. And when we see Jupiter Dunlop here spreading around in the very same disguise Jake told us he was going to wear, we thought it was Jake his own self, and he was goo-gooing deaf and dumb, and that was according to agreement. Well, me and Huck went on hunting for the corpse after the others quit, and we found it. And was proud to. But Uncle Silas he knocked us crazy by telling us, he killed the man. So we was mighty sorry we found the body, and was bound to save Uncle Silas's neck if we could. And it was going to be tough work too, because he wouldn't let us break him out of prison the way we done with our old nigger Jim. I done everything I could the whole month, to think up some way to save Uncle Silas, but I couldn't strike a thing. So when we come into court today I come empty, and couldn't see no chance anywheres. But by and by I had a glimpse of something that set me thinking, just a little wee glimpse only that, and not enough to make sure, but it set me thinking hard and watching, when I was only letting on to think. And by, sure enough, When Uncle Silas was piling out that stuff about him killing Jupiter Dunlop, I catched that glimpse again, and this time I jumped up and shut down the proceedings, because I know Jupiter Dunlop was a setting here before me. I know him by a thing which I seen him do, and I remembered it. I'd seen him do it when I was here a year ago. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.